ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
So if Rebecca is a type of the church, the bride of Christ, the scriptures teach that the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts, right? The gifts of the Spirit. And in Ephesians 4, Paul says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the Holy Spirit gives ministries and gifts to the bride of Christ to make her more beautiful. You can see Romans 12 speaks of it, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians 4, these are more ministry gifts. But Paul in Ephesians 5:27 said this. He said that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. You know, I love that. We, as the church, as the bride of Christ, the Holy Spirit is giving us things to make the bride more beautiful. Amazing. Look at verse 29. Now Rebecca had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebecca saying, "Thus the man spoke to me," that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. And food was set before him to eat. But he said, "I will not eat until I have told about my errand." And he said, "Speak on." So Laban is the brother of this young girl named Rebecca. And what is he focusing on? That is a great nose ring. He's focusing on the riches. You know, we don't think, well, I guess today we have nose rings again. But he's focusing on all the wealth, all the riches, all the things that Rebecca was given by the servant Eliezer. And it's a good deal for him. That's the way he's looking at it. And, you know, it's sad today, but people try to make a profit off of God today, too. Especially, you got a lot of unbelieving merchandise, unbelievers making merchandise and selling them. Sad. But here's the thing. Why would you want to try and make a profit off of God? Doesn't God give you everything that you need? He does. Really, you can gain this whole world and lose your soul. Is it worth it? No. Yeah, Laban was very hospitable. But again, why? Well, he's seeing Abraham as being a rich guy, and his servant is willing to keep giving gifts. What's interesting is, before the servant eats, what does he want to do? "You got to hear my mission. You got to hear why I've come." Spurgeon put it like this: like every true servant of Christ, he put his master's business before his own ease or comfort, even before the question of necessary food. When a man begins to think more of his eating than of doing the will of God, he ceases to be a true-hearted minister. Wow, exactly. Look at how the story continues on here in Genesis 24, starting in verse 39. "And I said to my master, 'Perhaps the woman will not follow me.' But he said to me, 'The Lord before whom I walk will—'" Oh, excuse me. Let me go to verse 34. I'm jumped way ahead. "So he said, 'I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell.' but you shall go to my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son, for my kindred, and for my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my kindred, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath. And this day I came to the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink, and she says to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also, let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. But before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, please let me drink. And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give your camels a drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist, and I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. If not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. So what we see here is the servant is telling Laban and the rest of the family what this mission is all about, to find a wife for his master's son, and how God brought him to the spot. He was praying, and all of a sudden there's Rebekah coming, and it just, what he was praying for just came to pass. And what a witness of God's power and God's direction for this family to see. I don't know if they saw it, though. Rebekah, I think, is seeing it, but I don't know if they did. You know, many of you know how God brought me up here from Chicago to Wisconsin to be pastor of this church. And when I told the story to my family and my friends, they weren't really moved by it, most of them. My church family was, but family and friends that were not saved, they didn't understand it. They didn't see the calling of God. I waited some 10, 11, 12 years before then God brought me up. And there's a lot to the story, and it's an amazing story. But the thing is, they didn't want to see the hand of God. They weren't listening. And I think for Laban, maybe the rest of the family, they're looking for the wealth. That's all they're really interested in. Yeah, that's a great story, but, you know, so what? So look at what happens next. Laban and Bethuel are going to speak up. Verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. So Laban, Rebekah's brother, and her dad, Bethuel, are trying to take this all in, process this. And they believe it's from God. At least they say it is. But it also says that they say, we cannot speak to you either bad or good. Now, wait a minute. You just told me this was from God, right? Now you're saying, but we don't know if this is going to be good or bad. I don't think they really believed in the true and living God. You know, what God brings forth is good. James says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. You know, the Father of lights was an ancient Jewish title for God. It spoke of him being creator, the giver of life. And so from all that God is, he gives good gifts, his goodness. One scholar put it like this. He said, unlike those sources of light, which magnificent as they are, can nevertheless vary and will eventually fade, God's character, power, wisdom, and love have no variation or shifting shadow. Through Malachi, the Lord declares, I, the Lord, do not change. Through John, we are told God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And through the writer of Hebrews, we are assured that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and yes, forever. That's our God. And yet, I don't think they knew the God of the Bible or the God of Abraham at all. And the things that were given to Laban was the dowry. And what it showed was that Isaac was able to provide for his bride. And I think for Laban, you know, the movie with Tom Cruise, Show Me the Money, I think that was kind of his idea. Show me the money. What else do you have? Come on, bring out more. This is good. We're just going to wait and see how much he can bring. Why do I say that? Well, because I look at the life of Laban. And we have more insight as we continue on in Genesis, because remember, Jacob is going to run to hide from his brother Esau because Esau wants to kill him. And where does he run to? His uncle Laban's house. And Laban takes advantage of him. He was all about the money. He changed Jacob's wages several times. I think it was 10 times he changed his wages. So here's all this information. Here's what's going on between the family. How's Rebecca going to deal with all this? Look at verse 54. We're told this. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning and he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she may go. And he said to them, do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master. So they said, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. Then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. So after the Eliezer, the servant, tells how God brought all this together, he goes, okay, now can we leave? Can we go home? My mission's completed here. I need to get back to my master's son and bring Rebekah with me. Reasonable request. But Laban, the brother of Rebekah, and her mother want her to stay, delay her departure. But Rebekah, what does she say? I will go. I mean, she doesn't even hesitate here, does she? I'm going. Wow. It's kind of interesting. They said she could go at first, and yet they want her to stay to delay her departure. 10 days. Is it literally 10 days? Could be. Could be a longer period of time. But that's the world. I mean, to the sinner, what does the world say? Don't hurry. You have plenty of time to decide, right? To the believer, don't hurry. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to get involved. Go out with us tonight instead of your Christian friends. Barnhouse put it like this. He said, if the world does not succeed in persuading the believer to abide in the world, it will seek to delay his exit. When you decide to go with the Lord, the world will applaud your devotion, but will say, don't rush. Abide a few days, at least 10, and then go. The world keeps us from obeying the Lord. There's the problem. Don't delay. You know, at a closing service of a great evangelicalistic crusade in Fort Worth, Texas, Dr. George W. Truett, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, said to a vast congregation, Satan does not care if men and women come to the house of God and to public services such as these and are attentive and serious and deeply moved, if only they will let the religious opportunity pass and be unimproved. Oh, dreadful possibility that religious opportunity may come and pass by and the highest things of the soul be lost and forfeited forever. Yeah. You know, why was Laban stalling? I think he wanted to see if Eliezer had more goods, you know, more possessions that he could get. I think he was just delaying that. But again, I look at the faith of Rebekah. Now, let me ask you this. Has Rebekah ever seen Isaac? Did Eliezer bring her a picture? Well, no, because they didn't have pictures back then, right? They didn't have cameras. So she's never seen Isaac before, but she was willing to go immediately to be with him. Remember after the death and resurrection of Jesus, what Jesus said to Thomas in John 20:29? Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. That's us. We've never seen Jesus face to face. He's not walking this earth right now. We have, again, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God opening up who Jesus is to us. It's just faith. That's what we see here with Rebecca. And I love the fact that nothing is going to get in her way, not family at all. She's going to see her bridegroom. Now, one more point here. It's kind of interesting. Rebecca's family tried to make the decision for her. We see that in Genesis 24, verses 50 and 51. But here's the reality. Only Rebecca could make the decision and go, right? It was her decision to make. What do I mean by that? Our family, our friends cannot make a decision for Jesus for us. We have to make that decision on our own and take those steps of faith, just like Rebecca was doing here. So how is this all going to end? I mean, this has probably taken a long time. We're maybe a year, maybe 2 years. I don't know. Travel 500 miles. You know, I'm going to be traveling more than 500 miles. And it better not take me a year. Steve would not be happy with me. But look at how he fulfills this work. Look at verse 61 of Genesis 24. Then Rebecca and her maid arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebecca and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to her, the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "Is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So Eliezer has taken Rebecca on this journey to meet her bridegroom. And again, a 500-mile journey, again, maybe another several months to accomplish it. Slow, long, difficult, but they were going to complete it. And I like that Rebecca didn't give Eliezer, you know, directions. "Hey, I don't want to go this way. Can we go this way? There's a really good shopping mall over here. Let's go to this door." I'm in trouble tonight when I go home for that one. But no, she's not telling him where to go. What did she do? It says that she was following him. He was leading. Well, think about it. The Christian life, is it a long journey? Oh, yeah. Is there a lot of hazardous events that happen in our life on this journey? Yeah. Is it slow at times? Yeah. Are we going to make it? Absolutely. There's no doubt. The interesting thing is, we just need to follow what the Holy Spirit is showing us as we walk by faith. And again, I don't think you can lose your salvation. I think once we come to Christ, it's a done deal. Because our salvation is a unilateral covenant based on the faithfulness of God, not my faithfulness. Paul in Philippians 1:6, just one verse I'll give you. "Being confident of this very thing, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Did you see that? Who began a good work in you? The Lord did. Who's continuing to do a good work in you today? Oh, the Lord is. Who's going to complete the good work that he started in you? Oh, the Lord is. What about me? God's doing the work. I just need to follow. Once I've committed my life to Jesus, I am now waiting for the bridegroom to come. If it was up to me, I'd be in serious trouble. But it's not up to me. I just need to walk by faith. You know, we haven't seen the Lord, but we love him, Peter said in 1 Peter 1. We believe. And we rejoice. And it's faith. Now, let me ask you a question here. When was the last time we saw Isaac? Well, it was when he was on Mount Moriah, right? And he was willing to be sacrificed as a sin offering. The Lord stopped it because he doesn't, not into human sacrifice there. And again, like I said last week, we were never told that Isaac came down from the mountain. The Holy Spirit says Abraham came down. So we assume that Isaac came down, and I think he did. Obviously he did. He's with his dad. But the Holy Spirit edits that out. Because the next time we see Isaac mentioned is when he meets who? His bride, Rebekah. Wow. And when the Lord comes for his bride, the church, for us, we'll meet him in the air. That's what Paul talked about in 1 Thessalonians 4. He doesn't want us to be ignorant about the rapture. And what is the church becoming ignorant about? This very thing. Wow. We are looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We realize that there's work to be done until that time. Jesus said to occupy until he comes. You know, don't sit it with your rapture shoes on, ready to jump up. Continue doing the work. And when it's time, boom, we'll be with the Lord. Will it happen in our day? It could. May not. But when these bodies again go back to the dust of the earth, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And I'm so thankful for that. So what a beautiful picture here. Now, you know, we've talked about Abraham being God the Father, Isaac being type of God the Son, Eliezer the servant being a type of the Holy Spirit, Rebecca being a type of the church. Who did we leave out? Sarah. What about Sarah? Well, she died. But why is she left out? Because I think Sarah represents or is a picture of the nation of Israel who rejected the Messiah, rejected Jesus. Sarah died just as Israel is spiritually dead at this time. You see, yeah, the early church was all Jewish, but they kind of moved away. They did move away from the Messiah. And God placed the nation of Israel on hold and is working through the Gentiles. Again, this is another issue that Paul said I don't want you to be ignorant about, is that the Jews are lost. They're not. God is going to deal with them again. He hasn't eliminated them, not at all. Why is God using us, working through us, to make the Jews jealous so that they may come to saving faith? Have Jews come to saving faith today? Absolutely. But the nation as a whole will not come to saving faith until the tribulation period. I believe that when they're at the rock city of Petra, remember what Jesus said, "You will see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." I think that's the petition. And we're told that Jesus comes to Basra, to Petra, and his garments are stained. Where did he come from? The Battle of Armageddon. And his garments are stained with blood. And I think it's there that they come to the Lord and the nation gets saved. Yeah, many will die. Many Jews will die during that period of time, but many will come to know the Lord. There is no way, when you realize this is a few thousand year period of time we're talking about, that different writers can put this stuff together and tell the story. Now, if there was one writer over a short period of time that put this all together, you might think, well, yeah, I guess you can kind of come up with it. It's not the case. This is the hand of God. And it's one of the most exciting stories. You know, Jesus said, "Abraham saw my day and rejoiced." I think it was the day that Abraham was going to offer Isaac his son. That was the day. It was a picture of what God the Father was going to do 2,000 years down the road on that same mountain, on that same spot, Calvary, Mount Moriah. What a wonderful, amazing God we have. And never forget that. Never lose sight. This is a journey we're on. And this is not our home. We're aliens and strangers, pilgrims here, passing through. But one day, we will be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll be home. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, this beautiful story, Lord. And Lord, as we continue on in Genesis, we're going to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. You just tell it like it is. You don't cover anything up. You just show the heart of man. And sometimes your people do some really bad things, and sometimes they do really good things. And Lord, that encourages us that you never give up, that you continually work in us and through us to bring glory and honor to you. And we thank you for that. Lord, thank you again for your word. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.